Welcome, After Buzzers. You are watching the after show for American Crime Story, where tonight we talk about Andrew Cunanan and Johnny Versace before the murders. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, After Show American Crime Story fans. We are back. My name is Shaka Smith.
Hey, Ronnie Jr. Hello.
What up?
Hey, After Buzzers, it's Russell Ray.
Bonjour, bonjour. Juliet here.
Oh, man. What an episode. Finally, we got some more Versace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just hear you guys' thoughts about what you thought about this episode. I was excited just to get more of Penelope and Ricky Martin back in there.
I know. I mean, I feel like we've been talking about this ever since like this show started, right? We've been, like you said, we wanted more Versace, which this episode really delivered, and I am not disappointed. I'm really, really happy. Very strong episode. It was funny though because there was a few scenes where we, you know, we go back to Andrew, and I was thinking like, oh wait, I kind of, you know, I've been complaining about this, but I kind of enjoy it. So yeah, what do you guys think?
I thought, hold up, who are all these other additional men that I didn't know about before? Talk about been around the block. Oh, Lord.
I thought the episode was cool because, you know, we've been sort of getting this idea of, like, we're hung on the edge of our seat every episode because we're like, oh, now we just want to see further back, and which created this monster, so to speak. But then on this episode, we got all of that, and we got some really great San Diego moments as well as Versace moments. But then we got this twist, this surprise, this Lincoln murder we'll talk about a little bit later. So all of that really, like, you know, added to this episode, I would say.
And we also got this iconic dress. And, of course, we're going to put up later for the viewers a picture of what the real dress looks like, but... I didn't realize that played so heavily into the storyline of them as siblings. That's one thing I really enjoyed seeing with Donatella and Johnny as like brother and sister, the ebb and flow. What did you guys think about their relationship?
I thought it was good to go back a little bit further. You know, we had seen more of a combative, or I don't want to say combative time, but a challenging time for the two of them. So while this was challenging because he was sick, it was really warm to see him really hug and nurture her. And I felt, you know, in this episode, a couple times I had said in my head, I was like, a star is born. It's like everything that he said, he was trying to make his beautiful sister a star is born moment.
Yeah, even the mean stuff, even when he seemed a little bit like tough on her, right?
Yeah, that's how I took it.
Yeah. I think that was such an interesting episode. It was really great, like you're saying, to see that camaraderie, especially because we all know his fate, and it's kind of nice to have this idea of he's prepping her for what's to come, even though we don't really know this. I mean, the circumstances has changed. That was really nice, that he's just really prepping her for this legacy. Yeah, what'd you guys think?
I love the banter back and forth between brother and sister.
Yeah.
Just because that's such a natural thing. Mm-hmm. You want to, as an older sibling, or even sometimes as a younger sibling, you want to push your siblings that aren't doing as well to be the best that they can be. And sometimes they don't see the potential within themselves, which is the case of Gianni and Donatella's. Mm-hmm. He saw potential in her, but she was too busy settling and going off of everyone else's opinions and ideas based off, instead of going off of her own. And I really liked the fact that he was so petty enough to call her an assistant.
Yeah.
Like, assist me, go get me flower arrangements.
Because that's the way you view yourself, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which I love because I'm an only child, so immediately when I first saw that opening scene, I was like, wow, he's being really mean. And then all of a sudden I saw that big brother, tough love. Mm-hmm. He really wants to bring out the best in her, which I really enjoyed.
Right, he's just like really pushing her to get that greatness out of her.
Yeah.
A little fact versus fiction on this episode.
There's a lot of fact versus
fiction.
At
the time, thank you, Jeff in the booth, a little shout out there. At the time, so it's not really, you know, we don't really know at the time because, like, he was diagnosed with, what's it called?
HIV.
HIV. I don't know why. I literally was thinking VHS. I'm like, that's not what you're trying to say.
That was a problem, too.
That was a problem, too. Anyways, so, but it wasn't really public knowledge. They were trying to hide it. And it's really hard to prove that since it was such a big family secret. So we don't really know if that was really happening, that he was trying to prep her for it.
Yeah.
However, at that time, he was actually giving her more and more responsibility, which is actually fact.
Yeah.
She was in charge of photo shoots. She was in charge of, you know, giving her opinion. She was really stepping into this role of being Versace and just like being part of the brand and really, really being a good commodity for them.
Yeah, we do have to say the family did not like the series and didn't like the book because of the implication of HIV. They actually have always maintained he had ear cancer and that the ear cancer started to go away. He got better before he was shot about 6 months before. Other people believe he got the new HIV drugs at the time, but the family's always maintained he had ear cancer.
Right, so you don't really know, but what we do know is that, yeah, she's getting more responsibility, and one thing that is for sure is that he always gave her final approve of designs all the time.
Yeah.
So now that he's not going to be there, it's just really important for them to kind of understand how, in a way, he can give her approval just, he passes.
I thought the confidence really rose within her because there were moments where she would shut the door and she had to kind of look at the staff and sort of face this maybe future she's going to be facing if he's no longer around. That's why I took it. And what was really interesting, what I loved is while she's going through that, Versace had the foreknowledge to give her that confidence. And what I mean by that is the fact that I think she mentions, oh, great, we'll have Naomi, run this dress, da 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 da. But he was like, no, you're going to run the dress. Like, he just his vision on how to make these things happen and how to, create a splash was really big, I thought.
Yeah.
And another woman who's got a lot of confidence is our very own Maria Menounos.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so if you guys want...
Books to back it.
Yes.
Maria Menounos, okay. So... if you want to have fun, learn and grow in areas of your life, she does have a podcast. For those of you who do want to do this, we have a great podcast for you, Conversation with Maria Menounos. Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversation with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better and also aspects of life. From health and wellness to career and relationships, finance... for you people out there, and more. Let Maria be the big sister that you never had or that you always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversation with Maria Menounos, and it's free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was us that got you there.
Yes.
And Conversation with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. And check it out.
We love that she's back and back on the mend and healthy again. So,
and it's good, too, because, a lot of the shows out there, they're very quick with the digestion of information. Conversations is a whole different thing. I was actually listening to the one they had recently. Maria sat down with Tracy Edmonds. Mm-hmm. And, she's, of course, done TV hosting work. And,
of course,
produced Soul Food, this, that, and the other. And she has a new health and fitness brand as well. So they kind of cohesively talked about it, but in conversation form. It's a missing art that, darn it, we never get to see, in the media.
Tracy Edmonds is huge on fitness and health.
Yeah.
She's always posting on her LinkedIn, because I follow her on LinkedIn. She's always like...
You like her too. Yeah.
Yes. I met her for the first time when I was producing the NAACP Image Awards.
Oh, nice.
And she was hosting along, and then... she's a very nice lady, very gorgeous. And
dig
very
deep into that conversation, Conversations with Maria. So, very good stuff.
Amazing. And now back from one confident woman to another, Donatella and rocking that dress. Mm-hmm. Which was hard for me, at least watching that scene, because I'm like, I don't believe Penelope's not confident about rocking a dress. But I guess Donatella had her insecurities.
Yeah,
Penelope was like, come on.
Yeah.
But I guess Donatella did have some insecurities at the time. And it actually looked like the dress was a little bit more risque than what we saw, at least... what they showed in the show.
Right, in the show it seemed the leather was a lot darker. Jeff is kind of have to show us to pull up a picture.
Yeah, you see there's like a sheer...
it's a real corset, and like you're saying, it's very sheer. And at the time it was a lot... so it's made out of real leather.
Yeah, and we see that opening is a little bit more than just a slit, right?
Yeah, it's really, really high
it's
up.
It's above the knee.
Yeah.
It's so above the knee.
For our podcast listeners, this dress was made with leather straps, belt, right above the bust line, with a choker harness around the neck, in addition to a bustier, with a clear, what would you call that, sheer?
Have you
sheer
worked a runway show before? You're good at this.
I feel like he's
Have you been the announcer before for
a runway show now?
And in addition to that, then it has the leather skirt, which is above the knee, with a slit to the right-hand side, exposing a whole lot of leg, a whole lot of chest, and a whole lot of stomach.
Right. Well, in this episode, it was an exact replica, so the costume designer is really just exactly replicated. He said that his name is Lou Arish. Sorry, I'm really bad with names, so I'm mispronouncing that. It's such an iconic dress, and it was scripted that it defined the need to tell this story coming into her own, and it was just like this storm.
So, yeah, because I didn't get all that in the episode, because the episode you saw a little slight slit. Donatella was like pretty
good. Yeah.
Well, you can see in the episode the confidence... or the insecurities fade away as the paparazzi and the press started noticing this whole different element of the red carpet versus what they're normally seeing.
I'm also very curious to know, timing-wise, if this was 1992, where things mixed as far as, like, high fashion and this edgy look. You know what I mean? Like, obviously things have been more accepted.
Yeah,
nowadays.
This would be completely
so maybe
right?
That's, yeah, that added to that huge splash.
Yeah, this was like almost had that bondage feel to it.
Exactly. So that
was
sort of and like the effect continues to go. I mean, who was it at the Oscars? Adam, you know, that the Olympiad. He had the little similar
right.
look
it's,
too.
Yeah.
So obviously it's a look.
Yeah, we again like you're saying that look. It kind of just evolved. We actually have a picture, Jeff, if you don't mind pulling it up, where you see the compare. You have Miley Cyrus who's wearing a version, right?
Mm. Yeah.
This now and then look at that's the girls on the right, 1992.
Wow.
Exact same thing. So that just really shows what a powerhouse Versace is.
Yeah, just
so
influenced.
Influenced. Yeah. Able to put a look that is like, so timeless that you are wearing, you know.
An influencer that. Before social media, right?
Okay.
Exactly.
So I hate to do this, but I have to. Yeah. Between Penelope Cruz and Donatella Versace, if this is the exact same replica, who wore it better?
Ooh.
It would have to be Donatella. I
actually,
had to jump in right away.
I say mean, Penelope.
But based on this episode, Donatella at the time when she wore it.
You took
yeah.
what I was saying. It has to be Donatella just based on like time, the beat, and just the attachment to the brand.
It was really fit perfectly for
like,
her body.
Like, how could you out Donatella? How could you out Versace, Donatella
you know,
Versace?
Penelope gave her a run for the money. The
oh,
way
she did. She did.
She
Penelope.
Wore that
she did.
She did a great job, but when you go to Vegas and you see like Michael Jackson, when they made it
impersonator,
right?
Yeah,
that's
you're, like,
you're not. You can't say that's better.
Yeah. Oh, so here we have on the screen saying, also the influence Adam. Of yeah, just being able to be bold enough to like take it to the Oscars and have you know, that's obviously not a Versace piece, but the influences of
right. the
bondage,
belts.
Yeah,
you know. So,
but I don't know how I feel about his outfit.
Oh, I love that. I love that honest. Down. Yeah. That is everything. Yeah,
we gotta do some. We gotta do some post Oscars coverage afterwards.
Yeah. Anyways, we do have a lot of other stuff to get to.
Yeah,
very big. Breaking Donatella into a new stratosphere of her whole career. Even with the PR thing, she made a comment that people say to this day always, which is, oh, something about relevancy. Yeah, like,
they're
well, but they don't like, and it's something that maybe wasn't as big then. Then it was more about the craft. Now, so it speaks to where we're at.
I thought that was such a neat scene because, as you're saying, she wasn't at all bothered by it. People, you know, they walk into that room and they're all like, oh, they're not that great critics, and she's like, as long as they're talking, I don't care. So it, in a way, you kind of see the character evolve so much in this episode in those few scenes, right? She's shy, she doesn't know how to assert herself, and from there she's like a star is born, as we're saying, and she's this powerhouse.
And since
let
then
them talk.
We've seen a lot of designers develop things for the runway and then develop the version for women to buy in the store too, so very interesting that she brought up that. I thought the whole, you know, Women's Day is coming up tomorrow. Wow, Women's Day is tomorrow, and there she was.
Women's Day is every day.
Yeah, right?
Scoring!
And there,
we love the women.
But there she was saying, look, do you want me just to be someone who doesn't actually speak and tell you what women feel about this dress? Or you know, you want to be inspired by me but not have me be at the table to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really cool moment. But we have to talk about Cunanan as well, even though we were so excited about the Versace.
Yeah, that was good Versace stuff, though.
Yeah, that was nice.
So to also mix with all this, yes.
So, yeah, this is how I wish every episode had been, like a nice mix. But we got Cunanan before the murders. I tried to feel some empathy for him because I'm like, okay, this is sort of like he hasn't anything wrong yet, but still he's a hard character to love. What do you guys think about those little seeds of wanting to be the best? We see the mother with the Haagen-Dazs. We see little things.
Yeah. This whole facade about him correlating name brands to and not only that, but just more is better instead of really honing in on the quality of something. He didn't care about the quality of anything.
Yeah.
If this pen right here said it was Versace, he would want it. Versus what it is now.
Except
he
was intelligent to know the difference. Like, he knew the Haagen-Dazs brand was crap, but
in terms of
the labeling, but he still wanted, because it said Haagen-Dazs.
So wait, what are you saying, though? You're saying he was like...
he was a label hoe. That's what I'm saying.
He's like, another
That's
word.
That's what it is. No, seriously, right? So, and...
But it felt, okay, I'm just going to say, I feel like it felt like it was more than just that. Like, yes, I got that part. But what I got with the interactions with the store manager and also with the mother, it was, yes, he had the label ho side of him, I suppose. But it was also about how he received those two people. These are his elders, so to speak. It was a manager who said, oh, you can be here one day. And it was the mother who, you know, you're supposed to look up to in theory. And it was his, like... trying to analyze why are you guys okay with this shit
right.
is what I felt that he was really going off of.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting progression or wanting more out of life mm-hmm. and not settling for things and pushing for better. But the fact that he was very adamant about having certain types of
and the idea of working for it seemed to be just sort of like, whoa. But remember, he in real life, I guess, went to this private school. His parents really did try to give him the best.
The bishop school,
he was that poor kid looking at what everyone else had. So you get this idea that like he just wanted, if they could see me now, he says.
And if I may, let's talk about those years. You know, it's like you have an identity who you were 18 you know, in high school, and then college or whatever. I think he's 23, so I don't know where his college, you know, education was or if he had it, but those are some very weird years. I've always thought that. So, especially if you're coming off this pristine, you know, high school.
Because you decide to, you almost decided that like period of life to make yourself, well, who am I going to be?
And then when you find yourself at 23 and it's just, it's crashing, and it's not only crashing, but the people around you are okay with that.
Yeah.
It didn't sit well with them at all.
Mm-mm. And another fact versus fiction, it looks like, so he was involved in a fraternity called Gamma Mu, which apparently was a society of very wealthy gay men to meet, just like a social club.
Right.
And then so he was involved in that, and that's
how the original MySpace.
But that, but that's how he was able to meet all these influential, because you always kind of wonder like how did he just kind of meet all these people.
Right.
But that's how he was able to meet all these influential people. And then I guess his first lover, which at least in this group, Lincoln, which I was surprised by.
Right, because we all thought he'd go with who we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that? That was a really chilling scene.
Yeah. All of it was chilling.
Right. Right. Very crazy to just kind of see how, in a way, that this episode I feel like was a big mirror, right? Like you guys are talking about the mom, about the store manager. It's a mirror of what his life, he doesn't want his life to be, but it also mirrors what his life, you know, kind of turned out to be, which I thought was such a crazy duality.
Mm. Yeah. The interesting part is, it's like kind of where did he go when he started? It's almost like he internally panicked, I suppose.
Right.
And then it was like, where's my next move? So the first move was to go to escort.
Yeah,
and
great scene, right?
obviously, that didn't work per se, but it fueled his like fire to be like, oh, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to find a way to do it. So I didn't know the fraternity was attached to that.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
But I thought that was such a great scene because here he was again, sort of just getting rejected, even though he's come in with he thinks is like the perfect package. He's well learned. He's, you know,
well endowed.
Yeah, well endowed, as we find out.
Which was his last attribute. He didn't come in. Yeah. You know,
we getting a whole lot this season. Right. We getting it from the front and the back. Yeah.
Oh, no pun intended.
That is what they said.
but again, we see him just getting rejected and having to like now remake himself.
Right.
And he does so, meaning these group of guys.
Mm-hmm. And these are my favorite parts about the Andrew Cunanan character is like so much of the episode. He's like, okay, fine, this don't work. Boom, I'll go here. But he's very like he doesn't get down and out. But in this episode, we actually got to see him get sad and down and out on a couple of scenes.
Right.
We're not to the mother pushing incident just yet, but that's what I really liked about it. Is so many times I think we watch Andrew Cunanan and we just see him as if this lane is not going to be for me, I'll just go here. So he's resilient in that way, but we don't get to see the holy shit and the real.
Right. Well, I think they really wanted to show us how little things started to shape him. Just little things started to kind of push him in the direction he went. And one of them I think was really big was the love scene between him and David. We finally get at least a moment where they loved each other. David liked him back.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting time though, because that was after he already pretty much solidified his first sugar daddy.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So it's in that time of like, you know, more is more.
And
it shows you
it shows you the recklessness of Andrew Cunanan, because you got what you wanted. Like, you have a good deal, you have the expense account, but here you go again.
And that's what spoke to me in that scene that I had said. Because there was this one moment where David's letting out his whole heart and Andrew looks right at him and he just gets, you know, really taken off of real emotion. It just made me think he's doing this, he's doing that, he's lying to everybody, and it was important for him to have what felt human.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think he was really, by that whole scene was that he was telling about the little girl in the house, and you could tell he was just looking at him with such passion, and he was like, wait, I want that house. I want this. I want it. And it was funny because that was the first time he didn't have to do anything with money, right? He's been attracted to these other men for money and for all of that, that he just kind of liked the idea of it all, to feel safe and happy. So I thought that was such an interesting layer that we haven't
seen. Or connection.
Yeah, a layer we have not seen yet. So I thought that was really, really neat. Russell, do you have anything?
No, I think you hit the nail right on the head.
That's what I try to do.
This is the first time there was a vulnerability that was really shown in its entirety versus trying to one-up by covering or gaining something from it. Because there was nothing to gain from the situation.
Right.
Yeah. Except for the respect of another individual.
Exactly.
Which he's never really after. in reality, if we look at it.
Right, very true. And I think even going backwards, as we were talking about that scene when he's trying to audition to be, you know, a male escort and they're saying no, prior to that, he had said, you know, I hate rejection. It makes me feel invisible.
Yeah.
And it was, I enjoyed how he kind of channeled that in a different way. And he was like, no, if I'm going to make my own path.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. Yeah. There's so many times throughout this series where we see Andrew just taking another path. And we always go back to that thing of like what
why?
If?
Yeah.
What if, you know?
And I thought it was what a crazy juxtaposition because there David's in this hotel room. That's like the dream. You meet someone that you find young and attractive and they've got all this money and they're kind of really lavishing on you and they seem to really like you. But that dream turns into a nightmare. And for me, that scene where they finally are together, it's that shower scene. And immediately I hear the shower and I see them too, and I go right back to that scene where he's in the shower.
Right.
It was just what a juxtaposition of moments, of this beautiful moment, and then now you're just like terrified.
Right, where it started and when it, yeah, it's very true. And you know what's so twisted is that Andrew is so twisted that he probably, the way he was washing him in that episode with the blood, same type of love.
Yeah. Mm.
He's showing the same type of affection as powerful for him.
Thinking that's a moment they're sharing.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So chilling. So chilling.
Yeah.
Oh, this makes me want to tell all my nieces and nephews to stay single for the rest of their
life. Yeah, right. You can't trust anybody.
Or I'm going to go on every single date with them.
You're going to be like Andrew's mom who wants to go on the trips with him.
I'd be like, hi, yes, I'm Alexis's uncle.
And before we get into a little bit more of Johnny Versace, I think we have another read.
Yes, there's actually where this podcast, by the way, you guys, it is brought to you and supported by ABC presenting American Idol. The singing competition that started it all has a new home on ABC, and the journey to find the next great American singing sensation is about to begin.
Yeah, Ronnie, sign up.
tonight.
That was me trying to sing the Rent song.
Superstar judge Luke Bryan, Katy Perry, and Lionel Richie join host Ryan Seacrest in the search to find your next American Idol. American Idol premieres Sunday, March 11th at 8, 7 Central on America's Network, ABC.
Wow. So good.
ABC.
First of all, can I say, am I the only one that enjoys all the bad singers? That's my favorite part.
Oh my god, the favorite part of those auditions.
Also, you like to watch the William Hungs of the world.
Oh, I like to watch everybody.
Who's gonna be the new one?
I've watched the William Hungs of the world, but it's on Pornhub. It's a little different than
Excuse me, thank you.
Who's gonna be the mean one? Lionel Richie, Katy Perry, who's gonna be the mean one? I do miss
I think
Simon,
Luke
right?
Bryan, because he did punch someone when he was on stage one time when he was singing.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Well, I'll be tuning in.
He cold-cocked him.
That's crazy. Wow. I mean, this show definitely has something for everybody, so that's why I think it's really important. We encourage everyone to watch it, and then after that, go back to AfterBuzz TV and see us breaking it down.
Yes.
Like us on Facebook, yeah, sure. On iTunes, more importantly, leave a comment and tell a friend about our show. About the show. Yeah.
Rate us 5 stars.
Five stars, because less than enough does not exist.
And the commentary is really good. Like, I'm not one that really gets to watch too much of the commentary, but some of it is so good. In fact, this is going to be it was a compliment diss, I'm going to call it. Someone gave us a compliment diss.
Oh, what was it?
And I usually don't shout out anything negative, but I got to, because this was good. They were like, oh, blah, 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 you know, something about their age, da, 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 but the people doing the recap. And so I took it in a good way, because I was like, oh, I'm old as dirt. So if you're thinking I'm young, that's what the comment was. So
you're like, thank you.
I don't know. I guess that was just beneficial to me. So I just thought, mention it real quick.
We'll take all the compliments we can get.
Compliment disses. Come at me with a compliment diss.
But back to our good friend, or not a good friend, but Mr. Cornell. Not
a good friend. What a neat guy.
I mean, you can phrase that the way that you want.
So we see a lot more seeds of the pathology being kind of laid in him. And that scene where, I guess, was it Kevin Bond is the guy who kills Lincoln or is at least in jail for doing so.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, they never looked at Andrew Cunanan for this murder because it was like a couple of years before he committed his first murder.
This was a big shocker of the episode, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if he actually, you know, there's no evidence that he actually witnessed it, but you do wonder if hearing the story, knowing what happened, influenced him. And fun fact, they move in to his house, to Lincoln's house. Him and Norm.
That was a question I had in my head, so I'm glad you found that out.
Yeah, that was such a chilling scene, and what was, I think, more chilling, it was not even... At this point, we've seen a lot of murders, right? We can all agree we've seen a lot of stuff. But it was just so... It looked exactly like the way Andrew, right? No tape, but still the bashing of the head, we've seen that. It's like kind of where it all stemmed from, you know? Yeah. Oh, so chilling.
Well, yeah, it's not every single person who just randomly happened to have seen that, you know what I mean? Right. Let alone he became a murderer himself.
And then he replicated.
These are not average things.
He's not like poisoning people. He's bashing their heads, but as this guy did.
It's almost like the light bulbs went off in his head. It's like, oh, I could do that if I need to. And then, like, he just kind of kept that with him, you know?
Yeah. That could be me. Or maybe just it's not a big deal. Because it happened so fast, and he even interacted with the guy. Like, you could think that, you know, that it just, it doesn't register that level of humanity. It's not tilting.
And even when they told him about what was going to happen to the perpetrator, Kevin Bond, he was, like, talking about that these crimes don't get investigated. They naturally assume that. So you get kind of a slap on the wrist, or you may not get the investigation
you
deserve.
That was really sad, yeah.
That was very sad, but like you're saying, it's in a way, it's another motive, because it's like, I can do this and nothing's going
to
happen
to
me.
Not have to really worry about the consequences.
That's interesting. Yeah. I didn't even look at it as motive. I looked at it more as, like, just trying times, you know, as far as, like, knowing that it's almost like, you know, you're expected to be this outstanding, great human being, and then all these obstacles. Not excuses, mind you, but... Yeah, it hurt. Like, I didn't really like watching that at all.
Oh, no, that was a very, very awful scene. In a way, that was kind of even worse than the murder, to be honest with you, because I was just so sad that that's a reality that people have been living in for so long.
And then you have to say the words, you actually have to say the words, they will kill us. And there's no, and that, you know, of course, all the people passed away of AIDS and, you know, other abuse situations. So it felt like a real conversation. You know, obviously a lot of this stuff is fictional. I'm sorry to cut you off.
We could, you know, almost liken it to today.
But no, I was going to say, was that it was a moment that sparked interest because it sheds light on why Kunanen was so adamant about expressing or outing the sexuality of the men that he murdered and placing the magazine around Lee Miglin's body and putting him in panties and embarrassing these people to the fullest, because at the same time, in that era, police officers were somewhat turned off by pursuing a case if this was an element of it. Yeah. And each one of his murders had that sort of element.
And even the family would want to keep it quiet. So they may not be as interested in pursuing it, you know, to the fullest.
Yeah, there was officers in San Francisco on the take at the moment of, you know, before Harvey Milk and that type of stuff. So this is very much a thing that was going on. I would, just because it is so on topic, I was going to talk about a play that is going to be set to start soon, and it kind of does cover all these things. It's Boys in the Band. This thing will be 50 years old. This is not a plug or whatever, but it is definitely something that not only Ryan Murphy is already attached to, but some of the articles I was reading about it was really fantastic.
It's a theater play?
It's got all the Matt Bomer, Zachary Quinto, tons of really great people, but it's a really good knowledge and lesson, as we always talk about how things were then versus things are now, and it's a nice way to bridge that gap, because the original story was, you know, 1968.
Yeah.
Yet all the stuff still sort of matters in a different way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Going back to that murder, though, the killer, Kevin Bond, so admittedly that he was the one behind this killing, he was convicted of second-degree murder and was sentenced to 15 years of prison.
15 years to life,
Yeah. So that's still a significant, rightfully so, right? So just reading that through the research, I think it's really nice that we get to point that out, that terrible time, and of course, I'm sure that he would have been...
Oh, but yeah, it would have been a different sentence today,
for sure.
Premeditated murder. Still,
it made me happy, because in the scene, it seemed like he wasn't going to get anything.
Yeah,
so
agreed.
At least there's 15 years.
You know who's I'm so sorry.
I was going to say, if you guys are in the chat, we're going to pull it up, and hopefully we'll be able to see some of your questions and comments soon.
Yeah, they can tell us how young we look.
Please do.
Some of us are not. Gosh, I forgot what I was going to say.
This lighting, though, is doing wonders for all of us. I feel like Mariah Carey, you know?
You are. I did forget what I was going to say, because we're in a moment.
No problem. Well, I guess it's...
Oh, I do remember what I was
saying. There we go.
Because we saw what happened with Lincoln, and what we know that Norman, of course, had a relationship with Andrew Cunanan. I'm just so... I would have been so curious to know some of his, like, conversations. You know, you have not only a best friend who gets murdered in kind of a similar way that you're... you know, sugar baby ended up murdering a bunch of other people. Like, Norman, of course, not guilty in any of this, but he's around a lot of negative stuff. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just wondering how he resolved this, if he ever got any depression over it. I mean, that's just something to think about. Like, not only is somebody got murdered in the same way that the guy who you basically, you know, paid for ended up killing other people. Like, he's not, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
About the confusion that I have in my head, like, what he, I would wonder
what he's thinking or what he went through.
Yeah,
or
when he reads that in the news. Yeah, in the story, they made it show, like, he said, oh, things like this always happen, so, you know, I'm kind of used to it, or whatever he said, but... You know, that's pretty severe.
But I would probably say maybe violence against gay men was maybe some part of what he knew. Maybe not that type of violence, but like
that. Yeah, but it was Andrew. It was the one he was with, you know.
Oh, you mean like, when he finds out what he's done. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's right behind the other door.
Yeah.
And on both sides. Like, there's my friends. Wait a minute. This was someone that was in my house.
Yeah.
You know.
And we also get Gallo. I love, we get his first, you know, he's suspicious off the bat. He's like, oh, you were married,
he's
so
catty.
Young. So he right away is like very suspicious of Andrew. I love how they set that up so we know that he's a friend that's always wary of this guy. I guess it's time for a little bit
Before we do, sorry, I didn't mean to talk, I just want to, and last thing I want to talk about, we did talk about a little bit about Gianni's illness, but I know that our fans really like to hear like fact versus fiction, so just one more thing. So in the story, right, we see him that he's complaining of hear loss, and he actually, there's a chilling scene where he loses his hearing, and Donatella says that he's suffering from an ear cancer.
Yeah.
This is actually the story that they've been sticking with, the whole family, till this day. Yeah. That's what they claim the illness was, some type of ear cancer infection.
Yeah.
It's very, as we've mentioned before, it's rumored to be HIV. Yeah. HIV scientifically has been proven to be linked to hearing loss. So I thought that was just really interesting how they're just, till this day, that's the story they're sticking to.
Well, they try, and it was like they tried to honor it to a degree in this show, because I don't think you ever hear any of the family say HIV. They always say sickness. She obviously says ear cancer, but you hear other people speculate about HIV. So I think they tried to give it some, you know, balance, but, you know, the family wasn't having it because clearly the overall implication is HIV.
Right. And so what is true is that, again, like, Donatella took over the day-to-day operations as he went back to Miami to, you know, kind of focus on his recovery. He did get better.
Yeah.
And when he did, he actually, there was kind of a power struggle because she didn't want to give up her power. She was taking over day-to-day.
Yeah.
And that's actually something that we're not going to see in the show, unfortunately, because they left it out of the show.
Okay. Yeah.
So a little extra sibling rivalry that we don't really know about.
But she did say they celebrated and had champagne when he was cured of the cancer. Because apparently the cancer was supposed to kill him, but he got better. So
may I say, this episode just had my mind going everywhere.
Right.
Even like how I just mentioned the Norman question a second ago, like, I don't even know how to articulate some of the thoughts from where we're at, because it's taken you a place where you're expecting, and then a couple other things too. So I was very pleased.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's my favorite part of the episode, is like, I felt like we actually got we got enough for our brains to kind of be, you know, lit up and go different places. Let's get into predictions. The good stuff.
The good stuff.
Oh, we're starting with you.
We're starting with me.
We always start with you.
Okay.
We're
like, oh, sorry.
It has always been you.
Okay. Well, let's start with me. We only have a few episodes left, guys, which is really, really saddening. Yeah. As we all know, obviously, we've been going backwards in this story, but we're pretty far back. I feel like we kind of know the roots of, you know, this whole spree. So I'm hoping that we're going to see the moments that lit up. Kind of, we're just filling out the gaps of what's missing here and there. So yeah, a lot of exciting stuff to happen, and a funeral. I've seen promotional pictures with Donatella with a pretty veil, black veil, so I'm excited to see that. It's going to be very sad, and I probably will cry, but it will be beautiful. So beauty is pain, guys.
I'm excited to see Kunanen finally reach his snapping point.
I'm pretty sure it's happened at least 5 times.
What was the feather on the camel's back that broke it, that made him want to outs everyone so bad, you know? Yeah. Because who did what to him to make him finally say, you know what, if I'm gonna be outed like this, so was everyone else, and I'm gonna make it worse, 10 times worse.
I'm a little interested in that theory, too. My one prediction, I would love to see more of how he ended up, Versace, rather, ended up in Miami. I think I've told you guys that a couple times. Mm-hmm. I want to see that. But I want to go off that a smidge and say, I remember watching this this TV show on HBO called Looking, and it was he was about a 25-year-old gay character, and he hooked up with another guy about the same age, but they were comparing notes, and then he was like, oh yeah, I came out when I was whatever. The other kid was like, oh yeah, I came out when I was like 15, had four boyfriends. And so it left the older guy thinking like, oh man, I wonder how I would be more adjusted if things were just like normal, because I guess things are different now, you know? The reason I make that point is because we're coming from a time where you had to be radical. Like, him being him kind of made him so radical. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, I think that's the part that I want to see, is the part, those things that, like, if he didn't have to be who he wasn't going to be so, you know, F it when going to the prom, and F it, you know, having, because you said, how does he turn into this person, I think.
To a monster, yeah.
Yeah, I think those were some of those elements, because it's like him being him, his normal self wasn't enough, so he had to be something bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, my speech pattern today is just off, because I'm trying to get all these thoughts in here, and they make sense to me, but not to you.
I think we're going to see the opposite, prediction-wise. I think we're going to see that it was a slow progression, and that it could have almost happened to anyone, but it was just a perfect storm of conditions that created this person that went down this road. Mm-hmm. Just from everything from the, you know, the parents wanting to give him the best, and then he's in the private school, and then he's seeing the rich people, and then, you know, he's in this thing where he's meeting rich guy after rich guy, but then he gets rejected by the escort agency, you know. So I think we're going to see that it ends up being this long road of little small decisions that led to this,
right.
And that there's actually not going to be like a aha moment that's what pushed you over the edge,
right.
Which I think is scarier, because mm-hmm. it could almost be anyone that's just sort of internally struggling and then goes mm-hmm. down this path.
It is very scary, yeah.
I mean, like, being, unfortunately, we had the school shooting and things like that.
Right.
We see a lot of times people exhibit little signs, but it's never to the point where you think they will do something like this.
Right. It's such, yeah. I mean, these actors are kind of unimaginable, right? So it's really hard to pinpoint how that came. But really strong predictions. I have a spoiler.
Oh. So, tell us. Tell us.
What do you mean by spoiler? That's a heavy word.
So if it's true, what we are actually going to be seeing in the next few episodes is his more details about his relationship with his father.
Oh,
his father has been brought up so many times, right? Yeah. He's like, my father's in the Philippines, does this, does that. But we've not really seen the truth behind
this
that.
Mystery,
and so
man.
That's what we're going to hopefully,
who's gonna play
if the rumors father? Are true, people, that's what we are going to see.
And I also, myself, I have some news
mm-hmm.
In relation to the story.
Oh, I was like, oh.
I feel like every word we say, there's like, boom, bang, okay. Pop, pop, pop.
That's DJ Jeff for you. He has
DJ
all
Jeff
the ones and
booth.
Twos.
DJ Jeffy Jeff.
We need like a sound that says that, like, DJ Jeff.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, so since we've seen a lot of Kunanan's mother in this episode, I wanted to give you guys some facts about his mom. So a publication of Town and Country did an article about Kunanan's mom and did some research on her and pulled some interviews from Larry King. And Marianne Kunanan was a devout Catholic, although it was he portrayed that she wasn't when he was talking to other people. She suffered from postpartum depression after the birth of Andrew, so he was the cause of her postpartum depression. His mother was also on food stamps and public housing in Illinois, and she was hospitalized for 3 months with postpartum depression. And some news on Ricky Martin.
Oh, there we go.
Ricky news.
I'm glad we waited the whole episode for this.
So Gus Kenworthy, the Olympian, put out a post on Instagram.
I read about it. I saw, yeah.
That
come
was
home.
Very Craigslist-y. And it stated about Gus and his boyfriend in relation to Ricky Martin and Juan. Meeting for a couple seconds and then getting split up for whatever reason. So then he put a post on his Instagram putting M for M, which is meaning masculine for masculine, which is usually posted on Craigslist when you're looking for casual encounters. Okay. And you can see it in our studio right here who Gus is.
He's really funny. I saw him on an MTV show the other day. He's witty. He's spicy. I like him.
Well, he was sad that they got split up, and he really wanted to hang out with them, spend time with them. And weirdly enough news, Ricky Martin recently did an interview kind of relating to Mask for Mask. he implied in one of his interviews that I want to normalize. He used this. He was talking about Versace, his position in Versace, by the way. I want to normalize relationships like this, meaning an open relationship. It's good for the world. It's good for me as a gay man with kids. It's important that we shed some light on the power couples like this.
Yeah,
interesting.
Eliminate certain stigmas, I think.
So open relationships, and it's been speculated that Ricky is somewhat in an unspoken open relationship, because later on in the interview he goes to say, I'm in a very loving, and don't completely quote me on this because I don't know where verbatim, but he says to the matter that he's in a very loving, trusting relationship, and they have gotten to the point that they are here now.
Aww. And we'll have updates next week.
Real quick, after the news, if we do have a second, while it's great that Ricky Martin and these two... Oh, okay. We actually will talk about more news later.
Exactly. Week, that's guys. Your incentive, guys. You have to tune in next week.
Exactly. Yes. And as always, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Yeah, Ronnie Jr. at RandomlyRJ.
And I'm Russell Ray at Russell Ray Silva. Hey, by the way, check out our Instagram stories. We can give you guys some hot updates and news topics. So follow all of our handles and...
That is right. You can follow me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet.
See you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.